night, everyone. It's good to see you tonight again in the Lord's house, and especially to our young people. We're going to ask them to take part tonight. And so we're going to start by singing our opening hymn. Now, this is a hymn you may not be familiar with, but this is a hymn we sing just about every Friday night in youth fellowship. So, young people, you come all up to the front, and we're going to sing this hymn together. It's called The Mercy Tree. On a hill called Calvary stands an endless mercy tree. Every broken, weary soul, find your rest and be made whole. So, all in your best singing voice. So, we'll get the introduction from the musicians, and then we'll all stand together and sing our best on this opening hymn, please.
Thank you.
ask one of our elders and our Bible class teacher, our brother Dines, to come now. He's going to open our meeting in prayer, please. Thank you, Dines.
Heavenly Father, we would rejoice exceedingly that we are able to enter into thy presence with boldness, and that we are able to come to the mercy seat and to the throne of grace. We would thank thee for the glorious gospel of grace, for the gospel of Christ, the good news, the glad tidings. Oh, we would thank thee so much for sending your Son to be a propitiation for our sin. We thank thee for his obedience to your will, that he was obedient unto death, and that he was led away, the lamb, to that place of slaughter, and there he died for the ungodly, the just for the unjust. I thank thee, Lord, for each and every one in this house who is justified by thy grace. We thank thee for that gift of God, for that gift of faith. I rejoice that there are many who have believed on the name of the Lord and that they have been saved from sin. Bless everyone that shall take part in this meeting. We commend to thee the youth, the young people, and we ask that early in life that they will remember Christ their Creator. Not only will their souls be saved from a lost eternity, but a life saved to serve the King of Heaven, the King of Glory. Remember David as he would minister in song. We thank thee for that new song, for that message of praise, thanksgiving to thee in our mouths. And we do remember Adam, especially as he would handle thy word. We pray, Heavenly Father, remember him, undertake for him, fill him with the Holy Ghost, and with power. We rejoice that the Holy Spirit is given to those who ask. The Holy Spirit is given to those who do obey. And Lord, we come tonight and we claim thy promise. We pray that the Holy Spirit will descend upon him, and that each and every one that will hear the good news may be attentive, receptive to the message, and most of all, they will value their eternal soul. They will think about eternity, where they will spend eternity, and may there be many brands plucked from the burning. Lord, we pray, glorify thy name. We ask thee to bring honor to thy name. Make bare thy mighty arm, which is not shortened, that it cannot save. And we pray that throughout our little province, where men are standing, and they are earnestly contending for the faith, Lord, we pray for the watchmen of the night that lift up their voice as a trumpet, that cry aloud and spare not. We ask that thy word shall not return to thee void. We pray thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. Bless, Lord, throughout the mainland. The enemy has come in like a flood, but yet thou hast given to us exceeding great and precious promises. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Lord, therefore, we ask, do arise, do scatter thine enemies. We rejoice that our adversary, he was overcome there at the cross at Calvary. And we rejoice that there is one highly exalted. Lord, we pray that he might be king of every life, that they might be able to say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. May it be so. Glorify thy name for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you, Dines. We're delighted tonight to welcome David and Ashley back to Sandown. First time back now as man and wife, old married couple. Congratulations to you both. So we're going to ask you to come and sing. You're both going to come. Yep. So we're looking forward to that. You're very, very welcome as you come and sing for us now. The Lord bless you.
Thank you. called The Voice of My Beloved. It's one that we came to know very in the past, very recently there. It's one that's very close to our hearts, and a lot of words of comfort here. And pray that they bless into your soul. Just listen carefully.
Thank you.
David and Ashley, thank you so much for ministering to us in song, blessing as it always is, and thank you for your help tonight. So we are going to ask the young people, some of them, to come, and they're going to recite a few verses. Paul's going to come and lead us off, and just before he does that, if anybody wants to catch that fly and deal with it, feel free to do so. Thank you, Paul.
Just before our young people come up to do Bible readings, on behalf of the Reverend Wilson and the team of youth leaders and our Bible class teachers, we thank you for your prayers for our young people, again during another season of teaching them. It's our privilege to do that, and we have tremendous times with them, both on a Friday night and also on a Sunday morning, teaching them the Word of God. I'm not going to comment at all about the quizzes on Friday nights. That's left on Friday nights, and that season of winning every week is over. But we're so thankful to our young people for coming out so faithfully. Now, a number aren't here, but we're glad for those that have been able to come tonight, and we're so thankful that they come out faithfully every Friday and also on a Lord's Day morning. And do continue to pray for them. This is not an easy generation that they're growing up in, and we would ask and covet your prayers for them. Now, we deal with many different subjects, and we teach different things throughout the year and the season of youth fellowship and also Bible class. But one thing we center on, and that's making sure the young people know and can come to know and have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So everything that we do and all that we teach centers upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it centers upon the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So we've taken as our theme for our readings the Lamb throughout the Scripture. So our young people are going to come and read. First of all, we're going to have Andrew and Alice and Leah to come and read first for us, please. Andrew, Alice, and Leah.
First lamb is the lamb requested in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregations of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house.
A lamb ready. Genesis chapter 22, verse 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together.
The Lamb Revealed. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 7. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth.
Next, we'll have Kirsten and Lennox coming up to read, please. Kirsten and Lennox.
The Lamb Recognized. John chapter 1, verses 29 to 30. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." The Lamb rejected. Acts chapter 8, verses 30 to 33. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth."
The Lamb redeeming. 1 Peter. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, thus corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The Lamb risen.
Next we'll have Aaron, Riley and Darcy, please.
The Lamb risen, Revelations 5, verses 11 to 13. "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands and of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb which was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, hearing, I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever."
The Lamb received. John chapter 1, verse 10 and 12. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto us, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
The Lamb reigning, Revelation chapter 21, verses 23 and 27. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which were written in the Lamb's book of life." The Lamb of God. By Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, the precious blood was shed, when he fulfilled God's holy word and suffered in our stead. O soul, for thee salvation thus by God is freely given. The blood of Christ atones for sin and makes us meet for heaven. The wrath of God that was our due upon the Lamb was laid, and by the shedding of his blood the debt for us was paid.
We want to thank each of our young people for taking part. I trust you've been able to follow that, and our minds and our thoughts have been concentrated on the blessed Lamb of God, the one who came, shed his blood, that we might be forgiven. Mr. Wilson.
Well, can I add my thanks to the young people for taking part tonight. Appreciate you reading the scriptures and reminding us and bringing us to the Lamb of God. Thank you to young people, and thank you to all young people, youth workers and our Bible class teachers who give of their time week after week to teach and to instruct the young people in the things of God. It is certainly much appreciated. Can I just at this stage welcome you all along to our youth service tonight. We thank you for coming and for being a part of this meeting. Just very quickly, some announcements for the week that lies before us. In the will of the Lord, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, is our Bible study and prayer meeting. And we will continue, God willing, our studies in John 17, Christ's great high priestly prayer. Next Sunday, remember there's no Sunday school or Bible class now. They're off for the summer months. But we have our two services as normal, 11:30 and 6:30. In the evening time next Sunday night is our family service, and our brother William Heron from Hillsborough will be along to testify next Sunday evening. So I trust that you'll make that known and plan to be with us, and trust that you'll bring others with you as well. Also Solid Ground will, God willing, be here to sing. And there'll be supper for everybody after the meeting next Sunday night. Thank you for your offerings for Let the Bible Speak. On Tuesday night came to £571. Missionary Council boxes, £156, a total of £727 for the missionary work last week. If you have missionary boxes and as yet you haven't brought them in, if you can do that, please bring them to Richard or William as soon as possible. This is Missionary Council retiring offering Sunday, so please remember that as you leave. As you know, we don't take up offerings during the meeting, but the boxes are there as you leave for your offerings and for your tithes. Do continue to remember the Karskadon family, as God willing, they leave on Thursday for Uganda to be missionaries there in the Emmanuel Mission Station, and do remember them in your prayers, please, at this time. I think these are all the announcements, and as always, we make them subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing again at this stage. We're going to sing a hymn, a chorus that we sing in youth fellowship, another one that's popular, I know, in Sunday school as well. So young people, we're going to ask you to come up and help us sing this one, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. So this is one that we all know, and when we come to the end of it, ladies, you sing the hallelujahs, and men, we'll go back and repeat the verse, all right? So after we get the introduction, we'll sing this well-known hymn. Thank you.
Thank you.
help tonight. Really appreciate it. And to the musicians as well, we appreciate your help tonight as well, as always. I'm going to ask David and Ashley to come. Just David. Just David's going to come and sing for us now. Thank you, David. David, thank you very much again for being with us tonight. We appreciate your ministry and of Ashley's tonight. We really thank you for being with us. We always enjoy having you, and we pray the Lord bless you as you seek to serve him. Delighted as well tonight to have our brother Adam tonight. This week sees the final of his exams, so this day next week he'll be a lot happier having the exams over him, but it's hard to believe that his first year is almost over in the college. We're thankful for the Lord's hand that's been upon him, and we're glad that he was able to come and speak to us tonight. So I'm going to ask him to come now, bring the word of God to us. Pray the Lord bless him as he comes and speaks to us now. Bless you.
Well, can you turn with me this evening, the word of God, to the book of Joshua, please. Joshua chapter 14. And can I just thank Mr. Wilson again for the invitation to be along tonight And can I commend the young people as well for taking part and even for that study of the Lamb of God that's pointed us to Christ, and also for David as well, it's already sang and led us to consider our Saviour. But we're going to read from Joshua 14. And just for sake of time, we're going to commence at verse number 6 of this chapter. Joshua chapter 14 and the verse number 6. And the word of God says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." With the word of God open before us, let us just bow together in prayer as we seek the Lord's face for his help as we come to consider his word. Let's just pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come before thee this evening and we thank thee already for a sense of thy presence being here, and that to bless us tonight, we thank thee for the scripture readings by the young people that have pointed us to Christ, who is that Lamb of God. And we thank thee as well for our brother David, who is sighing, and Ashley as well, of the Saviour, and already brought us to consider him. And O Lord, we even pray now as we come to thy word that we would see and we would hear the voice of Christ speaking to us. Lord, I pray for thy Spirit to come upon me to rightly divide thy word and to preach it in power tonight. We pray that thou would take up thy word and apply it to each and every heart. For those who are saved and walking on with God, we pray that you would encourage us and build us up in our faith. And Lord, for those who are unsaved and still out of Christ, without a Savior, Lord, we pray tonight that you would take a dealing with hearts, and Lord, that you would come and even visit this place with thy so great salvation. So Lord, just come and bless us tonight. Do us good around thy word, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. It has been often said that there are three types of men in this world. First of all, there are those who make things happen. Then secondly, there are those who watch things happening. And then the third group are those who simply ask, what's happening? And no matter what type of category we may fall in that scale among mankind, we come to a passage of Scripture tonight in Joshua 14 that details a man who certainly made things happen for the Lord. This was true in this man's service for the Lord when he spied out the land of Canaan and he gave that faithful report along with Joshua. Whilst 10 spies gave a report that was unfaithful, that saw the enemy and saw the obstacles and believed that God was not able to work, yet this man, along with Joshua, gave a report by faith, believing that the Lord was able to bring deliverance through Canaan. And so in his service, but also in his love and devotion for God, he was a man that lived for the Lord. And of course, this man was Caleb. Caleb, who had a heart for God's work, and Caleb, who had a heart for the Lord himself. And it is for a few moments tonight that we want to look at verse 8 and verse number 9 in particular of Joshua 14. Words where we read that Caleb certainly was a wholehearted follower of God. Caleb's name literally means wholehearted. And we see here at the end of verse number 8 especially that Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. And so whether we're young or whether we're old tonight, let's see what we can learn from the life of Caleb, a wholehearted Christian. Notice first of all, this evening, his relationship with God. His relationship with God. Because in these words, Caleb comes on to Joshua. Joshua, who is now the leader of the people as they enter into Canaan. And he speaks on to Joshua about the relationship that he shared with God. And it's very clear here that Caleb was a man that just didn't know God in his head, but he was a man that knew the love of God in his heart. He cherished the Lord with all of his being. And so let us see some details about this relationship. Notice the people in this relationship. Because when we have relationships in life, friendships, it is between one person and another person. We have those in our life we are close to, we have a special bond to. However, this relationship in Joshua 14, verse 8, is set apart. And it is set apart because this is a relationship not between two people, but between Caleb and the Lord God Almighty. This is speaking about the creature and the creator, and yet they have a relationship together. And we see at the end of verse number 8 that reference is made to the Lord. And that is the Hebrew title Yahweh. That is Jehovah. This is the Lord God Almighty, the one who has created all things, the one who rules over all and is supreme and is sovereign. And here is Caleb, who was a mere man. A man like any of us who failed the Lord. Yes, he was saved, yet he still failed the Lord. But here was a man that could state with confidence that he had a relationship with God Almighty. And what a privilege that is tonight for all of us who are saved, that we have a relationship with God, that we can call him our heavenly Father. We are united and we have an audience with God through Christ. And this relationship here that is spoken of, it's surpassed all other relationships in life. Yes, we may be close to people in this life, but nothing can surpass a personal relationship with the Lord. And as we have done over this year again, with the young people in Bible class and youth fellowship, week after week, we have stressed to them that there's no better knowledge, there's no better relationship that they can have in this life rather than knowing Christ and knowing the Lord as their own and personal Savior. Caleb and God, they were the people in this relationship. But notice also the proximity of this relationship. Because look again at the words of verse number 8. For Caleb said, I wholly followed the Lord my God. And do you not notice there at the end of verse number 8 that this verse becomes very personal to Caleb himself? He speaks of the Lord, first of all, the Lord in general, as the one who created all things, the one who rules. But then he goes on to say, my God. And he claims him as his own. How was it that Caleb could say this was his God? How is it tonight, if we're saved, that we can say in our hearts that God belongs unto us? Well, the scriptures remind us we're born in sin. The scriptures remind us that by birth we are far from God. We are strangers to him. We're enemies because of our sin, which separates us from God. And therefore we're under God's wrath. We are under the divine wrath of God in our sin. We are fit for the judgment of God because of our sin and because of our disobedience to the Lord and not following after his word. And yet when we come to the gospel message tonight, we recognize that a way has been opened up back onto the Lord. You see, our preaching always centers on Christ, and that is because Christ alone is the only way to be reconciled back onto God. It is only through him that man can be given hope in this life and for the life that is to come. Christ, who has we have seen tonight, is the Lamb of God. And you will know John the Baptist said those words that are behind me. When Christ came, of course, John, the forerunner to Christ, preparing the way for the Savior and his earthly ministry. And he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Christ, of course, who was perfect. Christ, who was spotless because he was God. There was no sin to be found in him. And therefore, he lived a perfect life that we can't live. And he died that atoning death. He faced the penalty of death for sin in our place. And so we can say tonight, if we're saved, that God is our God because of the finished work of Christ. But there has to be repentance, there has to be faith in our hearts. If we cry unto God for forgiveness, for salvation, then his mercy will give us salvation through Christ. And we are told that through him we have the power to become the sons of God. There's proximity. The sons of God, joint heirs with Christ, the word of God says. And when we are saved, we belong to God. That was Caleb's experience. He was a Christian, he loved the Lord, and he belonged to the Lord. And I wonder tonight, as we look into our own hearts, can we say that we belong to the Lord? The word of God makes it very clear that if we are not serving the Lord, then we are serving Satan himself. We are going in the ways of the world and the ways of sin. We trample the blood under our feet and we reject Christ as the only way onto salvation, believing our way is somehow better and somehow we're going to get into heaven by something we can do. And yet the word of God is so clear that Christ is the only one that can save from sin. Do you have a relationship? Do you know what it is? Can you say, like Caleb, the Lord, my God? You see, what we notice as well from this statement is that Caleb was not ashamed to call the Lord his God. Caleb, no doubt, and the Israelites, they were surrounded by enemies as they came to inhabit Canaan. It was full of heathen nations, those that were opposed to God. And yet, despite all of the hostility that Caleb would have faced for proclaiming his faith, he was still ready and confident to say, "The Lord is my God." And dear young person tonight, seeking to live for Christ, dear older Christian as well, may we never be ashamed to own God as our own and to say he is my God to a world of ungodliness around us. May we not shy away from the preaching, the telling others of Christ, but may we instead be bold and be confident for him, to thank him for all that he has done for us, that he has counted us worthy to be saved. The proximity of this relationship, it speaks of a bond. It's a bond here that cannot be broken. We have friendships in life, relationships, and sadly, things can go sour. We can fall out. That relationship can break. That friendship that was once close, we can perhaps be forsaken by a brother, and that friendship breaks and we separate from that person. But a relationship with God is eternal. It's everlasting. It cannot be broken. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul speaks about how nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. And Christ himself in John 10, verse 28 said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from out of my hand." And tonight we have the insurance. If we are saved, we are also kept by the power of God. And that was the assurance that Caleb had in his heart. There was his relationship with God. And he had peace, peace within his heart. Can it be said of you? Can you say personally tonight that the Lord is my God? Is there peace? Is there a knowledge to know it is well with your soul tonight? There's this relationship with God, but secondly then, his reliance on God. Because from these words, we realize that Caleb had a love for God, but he also had a great trust and a great faith in God. Because when Caleb considered all that the Lord had done for him in his life and all of his goodness, that then led Caleb to trust and lean on the Lord in his entirety. For he said, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." There's a following after the Lord. And that speaks about a progression. It speaks about how when we are saved that we are to live, we are to grow in grace. We are to seek to have that closer walk with God, to learn more of him, to seek to serve him in our lives. You see, it's not simply the case that we are saved, we recognize I belong to God, and then we are at ease, we're at comfort, we're complacent in our walk with God. That is not how it is to be. Instead, there is a responsibility, there's a duty upon the people of God that we are to seek to live our lives for him. And that is certainly what Caleb did. He wholly followed the Lord his God. Three things about this reliance that he had. It was first of all concentrated. We read that he followed the Lord. It was the Lord, it was not a man that he followed. That, and therefore, if he was to follow the Lord with a whole heart, it was to have concentration. Concentration was needed in his life. And you will know that there's often times when we seek to live for God that our faith can be tested. The pressures of life can come in. And they can seek to hinder, to destroy our testimony as we seek to live for the Lord. And therefore, we must always be on our guard. And you know that word that is used there for followed? It means literally to pursue. It means to run. It means to go after. And the image is one that is striving and running towards God. It shows how Caleb had a desire in his heart to grow in the knowledge of God. And one thing again that we emphasize to the youth, but we emphasize to all tonight, is that we all are to follow after the Lord. We are to hear his word, but we are to obey his word, to be doers of that word, and seek in all of our lives to have those lives that are following after God. In the word of God, we read of the walk of the Christian, and it is one that is concentrated. We're not to look to ourself, because if we look to self, we will surely fail, but we are to look to the Lord. Caleb was not walking in a way that he believed was right in his own mind, but he was focused on God and his plan and his purpose. And we need God's strength. We need God's grace if we are to follow after him as we should. In Psalm 57, verse 7, we read of how David could say, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." And you will know that David faced many sufferings in his life. And yet, in those times of deepest trials in the Psalms, we see a love, we see a concentration, we see a focus on the Lord. Caleb's reliance was concentrated, and it was concentrated on God. But this reliance was also constant, because that tense that is used for this word, followed, it's also very important to note, because that word in verse number 8, it gives the idea that Caleb followed each and every day in his life. You may read that word followed and you may think, well, that's in the past. It's speaking about how he followed and now he doesn't. But that's not the meaning there. It is in the continuous sense. What really Caleb is saying here to Joshua is that back then I followed the Lord. And even up until this day, I have been following the Lord. And even today, I'm following the Lord. And tomorrow and in the days ahead, I am going to still be following the Lord. It's speaking about an action that didn't stop. It was continual. It was constant. And perhaps that is the greatest challenge for us as believers, to have a consistent walk with God. We can all walk well for the Lord. We can all serve him. But often there can be times where our love dims, our vision for the work of God fails, and that our passion and our drive isn't once what it was. And again, the word of God is very clear on this matter. If we lose sight of Christ, if we lose the sight of him, then we are sure to go our own way. We are sure to fail. And so we are always to look to the Lord, the only one who can give us the strength and we need. But how can we? Practically, how can we apply this to our hearts? How can we have a constant, consistent walk with God? Well, I'd say there's three things to have a reliance that is constant. There's first of all, coming to the house of God. There is gathering together. We are here tonight, gathered together as believers to come and to worship the Lord. And that is a means that the Lord is able to bless. As we gather, we attend the house of God. We have fellowship with fellow believers, but we come to hear the word of God preached to our hearts. And if we come week after week, that is one way we can ensure that we will have a more constant and continual reliance on the Lord. Coming to the house of God, also communicating with God in prayer, a daily seeking the face of the Lord. And we often think of Daniel, he prayed three times each day as a young Christian in Babylon. He was fully relying on God to meet the need. And we are to seek after the Lord in prayer, to give our wants, our desires, our needs unto Him, knowing He is able to hear and answer prayer. Coming to the house of God, communicating with God in prayer, but also contemplating the Scriptures, reading the Word of God, but not just reading it, taking it in, thinking it over in our heads, studying it out, reading the Word of God, desiring what is it that God is desiring to speak to me personally. For the Lord has a word for each and every one of us in the Bible. And these are the ways we can follow after God in our daily lives. Coming to church, praying to God, and reading His word. You know, you think about that blessed man in Psalm number 1. That Christian was called blessed, or literally he was called happy. And in verse 2 of Psalm 1 it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That's a constant reliance on God. Day and night, meditating, reading the word of God, seeking what is the Lord saying unto me. And Caleb was one who relied constantly. Can we say that if we are saved as well, that our reliance on God is constant, it is continual? Also, this reliance was complete. It was complete. And when I speak of it being complete, what I mean is that Caleb held nothing back in his service for God. He gave everything over to this pursuit of God. You look at that adverb used in verse 8. It says, "I wholly followed." And that word means that Caleb followed the Lord to the full. There was no limit to his love. There was no limit to his devotion. No boundaries, no things that he was not prepared to do. He was willing to do whatever the Lord would give to him to do. I'm sure we'll all be familiar with the life of William Borden. Perhaps some of the younger people not so. But William Borden was born into an American family in the state of Illinois in 1887. He was born into a family of millionaires. And he had a privileged upbringing. Borden went to Yale, part of the Ivy League. He studied. He had great potential for his life. And yet, William Borden also had a passion for God. He was a man who was saved and desired to follow after the Lord. And in fact, one of his classmates, when he first went to Yale, he could testify. He could see as he looked at William's life that there was a difference. In fact, he said concerning William, that he came to college far ahead, spiritually, of any of us. He had already given his heart in full surrender to Christ and had already done it. And Borden held early morning prayer meetings each and every day as he studied at Yale with his classmates. And he always sought to seek to evangelize to his colleagues in that place. However, if you trace the life of William Borden, you will go on to see how eventually, he was called to be a missionary and to reach the Kansu people in China. Despite having the world at his feet, freshly graduated from Yale, many job opportunities. In fact, it is reported that many high-paying job offers were offered onto him, and yet he turned them all down in order to fully follow the Lord to go to China. And because he was going to work with Chinese Muslims, William Borden, he had to go to Egypt first in order to study Arabic. And whilst he was in Egypt, he contracted spinal meningitis. And William Borden, within a month of contracting that disease, at the age of 25 years old, he died. I think about that tonight. The age of 25, older than all of the young people here, older than myself as well. And yet there was a man that was willing to pay the ultimate price to go and to serve the Lord. And perhaps many looked at that life and said, well, there was a life that was wasted. That young man had so much potential. And yet what we read is that soon after his death, William Borden's Bible was found. And there were three statements written in that Bible in the front cover. William Borden wrote, "No reserves, no retreats, no regrets." And no reserves. You think about that. He was willing to give everything to follow the Lord. That was the case with Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord, his God. And that is what makes the difference tonight. Many of us are saved. Many of us live lives for God, but does God have full control? Does God have total control of every aspect of our lives? Are we holding back something from the Lord? And may we desire to be willing to give up everything in order to wholly follow after him. His relationship with God, his reliance on God. But thirdly and finally, very quickly, there is his reward from God. And this is the final point we want to look at, because God rewarded Caleb for his faithfulness. We read in 1 Samuel that God says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And we see that that was the case in Caleb's life. You read verse 9 of this chapter, and it says, "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever." And there we go. Moses promised on that day that Caleb would receive an inheritance. He was 40 years old, you see, from verse 7 when he spoke to Moses and he received this promise. Caleb here was now 85 years old. 45 years following that promise of inheritance, God granted him it. Isn't God's timing perfect? Doesn't God always fulfill the promises that he gives on to us in his word? And we see that Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb from verse 14 of this chapter. And when we speak of this inheritance that Caleb received, it was not to magnify Caleb before the people. That was not the case. It was not to magnify the people and to glorify their own name, but it was to glorify the Lord and all of the blessings that he had provided, that in turn those people, in receiving that inheritance, would give thanks unto the Lord for all that he had done unto them. And surely we can trace our own lives, and we can see through our lives that materially, spiritually, God has met the need. And God is still able to meet the need. Wherever he will lead us, he will prepare the way so that our needs are met if we are to follow after him. That was the case for Caleb. He lived for God, and therefore God was pleased to bless him. I think of those words in Matthew 6, where Christ says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You prioritize God. You put him first. You follow after him. All of those other needs, all of those other worries, God will take care of them. As long as you follow after the Lord, it is the same for us today. The same principle applies to our hearts. God can take our lives individually. God can use us if we would desire to wholly follow after him. But as we close tonight, can I just ask again, do you know what it is to have a relationship with God? Or are you still in your sin? Are you still an enemy to him, a stranger to his grace? Are you relying on the Lord, or are you trying to look to self in order to get by in this life? If that is you tonight, then realize your need of the Savior. Look to Christ. Consider him. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners. And you look to Christ tonight in saving faith, you realize that he has finished the work. He has shed his blood. The way of salvation has been opened up to you. If you would but come, then cast away yourself. Cast away your sin and come on to him and know what it is to fully follow after the Lord in the paths of righteousness. And for those of us who are saved, to the young people, to the older people as well here, that all of us as believers, we would follow, not just read, not just hear about the example of Caleb, but then follow after it and be those wholehearted Christians for God. Christ himself, he gave that commandment in the Gospels that we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind. And may we be found to be faithful and obedient to the word of God. And may the Lord be pleased even to write these words and to challenge us and to speak to our hearts tonight for his name's sake. We'll just bow again in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God and our Father,